Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 63. In verse 17, O Lord, why have you made us to stray from your ways? Now, it should really read, why have you allowed us? So, why have you allowed us to stray from your ways and harden our hearts from your fear? God, why is this happening? Why are we made in such a way that we can make such a choice? Isaiah is asking a really very good question here. And it's not a question so much about their ways. The really useful part of this question is why. And sometimes you get into places in our lives or difficulties, situations, or sometimes you get into these blessings and say, wow, this is amazing. Why me? Well, that's not a bad question. Some people are afraid to ask God why. But you know what? It's completely okay to ask God why He has allowed something, why He has done something, why something exists, and it's not sin. Sometimes people think it's wrong to ask God why. It's not wrong to ask God why as long as you ask in humility. Now, there are people who ask God why, but it's not humility. It's more of an accusation against God. For example, in Numbers 20, verse 5, why have you made us come out of Egypt? Israel came out of Egypt, and they were having a tough time. And they started getting angry, and they said that against Moses. Why did you make us come out of Egypt? Moses didn't make you come out of Egypt. You were praying in Egypt that God would deliver you from Egypt. And so God answered your prayer. And even though they were aiming it at Moses, that was really an issue they had with God. They had that issue because of pride. That's not a good sort of why. But what Isaiah did is, God, why is this happening? What is your purpose in this? Why is this allowed to happen? And the idea is, give me some understanding. And in Isaiah's case, he wanted understanding so that he could be wiser. So he knows how to handle the situation, and that's perfectly fine. That was a very good question. Why? Often we will ask God why. Something happens, good or bad, and you want to know why. Stay humble in your question, and then it's a very good question. God has a specific response to the question. Now, if I ask God why, because I'm standing in opposition to Him, then He's going to give me one type of an answer. But if I ask God why, because I want understanding or wisdom or direction, He's going to give me another type of an answer. If I ask God in rebellion or in opposition to what He's doing, I don't like it, God, why are you doing this? Bad attitude question. He answers in Romans 9:20, who are you to reply against God? If I come to God in pride, that's how He's going to do it. Who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to Him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? So that's the one way. That person will not get an answer to their why. God will just say, get humble. I did it because I'm God. Why? Because He's not going to answer somebody who's asking something in pride. He'll just kind of put them off because God hates pride. But He will also remind us of this. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, He says that you belong to the Holy Spirit. You were bought with a price. Your life is not your own. If I remember that, then when I ask why, it'll be perfectly fine. Then it will be a good question. I know that I've been bought with a price. The price for my life was the cross. Jesus died and shed his blood for my sake. And with that, he purchased me. Why? Because I was lost in trespasses and sins. In other words, every human being is lost in sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, in Romans 14:23. Every human being, when they start out, after a certain age, when they can start making decisions on their own, they are in a condition of lost in sin. God has designed it that way so he can give grace. But every human being has been purchased. Every human being has the blood of Christ available to them. Every human being, God died for them on the cross. So every human being can get saved. Our lives do not belong to us. They belong to God. He purchased our life because we had no life. Apart from God, we have no life. So he owns us. Good thing he loves us because he does own us. Now, in order for me to understand why, I'll need the Word of God. Recognize that we are talking about God. When I ask him why, and it's in humility, he may not always give me the answer, not because he wouldn't want to, but because I don't have the ability to understand the answer. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, God's ways are high above our ways, and God's thoughts are high above our thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high are God's ways above our ways, and God's thoughts above our thoughts. In other words, God is saying, as far as the end of the universe goes, from the other side of the end of the universe, that's the difference between my thinking and your thinking and my ways and your ways. Well, if God's thoughts are that much greater than mine, there's going to be plenty of times when I don't understand him. There's going to be plenty of times where I'm going to ask why, and I'm not going to be able to answer the question. For example, I knew I was going to be a pastor 17 years before it happened. And when God called me to be a pastor, the first thing I did is I went to Bible college. There's no good pastor who has not been trained properly. And so, just like you wouldn't want a doctor who's never been to medical school, you don't want a pastor who's never been to Bible college. So I went to Bible college, and I thought, okay, I'll go to Bible college, and then I'll be a pastor. I went to Bible college, and then I went for a year on the mission field, and then God called me back. Wasn't exactly what I expected. And then, he didn't call me to be a pastor. He told me to pursue medical school. Now, how in the world am I going to be a pastor if I'm pursuing medical school? But you know what? One thing led to another, and I'm not going to get into the details right now because it's a pretty long story, but one thing led to another, and if I did not pursue medical school, I would have never become a pastor. God has this path he puts you on that not only gets you to the right place at the right time, it gets you to the right place. You need to be in the right place to be in the call of God. And God has this really unique way of getting you there. But then part of it makes sense. Let's say that you want to drive from here, oh, I don't know, to Texas. Did you know that there is no direct highway from Maryland to Texas? There's other highways, but there's no one highway that'll take you to Texas from here. And so you go out there and you take, let's say, Route 70, which is the big east-west highway. And then somewhere halfway in the country, you got to take a different highway. And then somewhere farther south, you take another highway. And there's all these different highways that you have to take, and then you'll get to Texas. It's kind of like that with our life with God. Sometimes we don't have the ability to know what God is doing or to understand what God is doing because the route that he takes with us is not a direct path. Other things need to happen. A lot of the things that happened while I was pursuing medical school were actually for me. I needed to be developed. I didn't know it at the time, but without that, I wouldn't have the personal things that I needed to become a pastor. And so God takes you on this path there. He's going to develop you. He's going to work with you. He's going to make you grow. He's going to teach you. He's going to do all these things for you. And then when you arrive, you're ready. For me, it took 17 years. That was a hard nut. But then, that's just the way it is sometimes. God has this path. Had I gotten there any earlier, we wouldn't have this group of people here at least. Had I gotten there later, same thing. Had I gotten to a different place, definitely the same thing. God has a very specific, precise plan and a very precise way to get there. We can't always understand that because we don't know the future. God does, we don't. God knows so many more things than I do. So when I ask God why, even if He does give me the answer, I can't always understand. Now, what we do have is this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, we have these amazing promises in that portion. First, it says, God makes everything beautiful in its time. The path may be rough, rocky, difficult, challenging, sometimes good, sometimes challenging. It's really usually a mixed bag. But the outcome will be wonderful. The destination is awesome. So God makes all things beautiful in its time. Then He says, and He has put eternity in their hearts, without which no man can understand what God does from the beginning to the end. What this means is the Word of God gives me the ability to consider things from an eternal viewpoint. Remember, God lives in eternity. Eternity is a place. It's a place that gives a much better perspective than what we have here on earth. God sees everything from an eternal viewpoint. Through the Word of God, I can see things from an eternal viewpoint. Now, I can't see like God can, but I get an eternal viewpoint because I have the promises of God, because I have definition from God's Word, I have God telling me what things mean, and I get this eternal viewpoint. So I'm no longer living in a moment-by-moment kind of a way as far as my outlook goes. I'm living more with the concept of God is doing something eternal, and how does this relate to the kingdom of God? Which is really ultimately what things are about. How does this relate to the kingdom of God? If I was going to be a pastor and I didn't have an eternal viewpoint on it, then pursuing medical school would not have been much fun. I would have thought to myself, this is pointless. Or worse, I wouldn't have done it because it didn't, in my view, relate to what the goal was. So I would have never done it. If I had never done it, I would have never reached the goal. It's like saying, why should I go north if I want to head south? Because the highway that takes you south, you have to catch it in the north. And so sometimes it works like that with God. He'll take you in directions you're not always going to understand. You can ask Him why, as long as you do it in humility. It's a legitimate question. But certain things I won't be able to understand the answer, and certain things I can. And when He can, He will show me why. And if I wouldn't understand, He'll give me a different answer. Now, whatever the situation is, in Ephesians 3:20, God goes above and beyond all that you can ask or think. That's part of making everything beautiful in its time. God's desire is to cause you to grow, to bless you, to cause you to be happy, to cause you to be mature, to cause you to be confident, to cause you to be like Christ. That's His desire. And so, God's going to work certain things, and He often uses situations to work those things in our lives because He wants us to be healthy, mature Christians. If I'm 10 years old, that's one thing. If I'm 60 years old and I act like I'm 10 years old, that's not so good. If I'm 10 years old and I act like I'm 10 years old, that's appropriate. God wants us to grow to places that are appropriate, to things that are appropriate, to character that is appropriate for where we are with our walk with God. If I've been saved and in a church for 30 years, but I don't know how to live in faith in the simplest thing, then I haven't really grown, and that's not good. Now, if I have just gotten saved and I don't know how to live in faith, that's pretty normal. I never had the chance to learn. But after I've had the chance to learn, God expects, okay, learn when you have the chance. And then He'll work that in. When you teach, for example, and I was a teacher for a long time, and I was a science teacher, so we did a lot of this. You teach the students, and then you give the students a chance to apply what they've learned. And we would do that in labs. So we would teach them certain things about science, and then in a lab, they would get the hands-on portion of it where they could see it themselves. Well, God does the same kind of thing. God will teach you in His Word, and then in circumstances, He'll give you the experiences of what He has taught you, the hands-on portion of the Word of God. That causes you to grow. For me, it was a really long path in one of the aspects of my life. Other things, it wasn't so long, but that was. Why? Because God was working it in me so that He could make it beautiful in its time. So that I could be developed and I would be ready when it was time. So I would be in the right place geographically. Because I wasn't out here. But I had to get to the right place geographically. And that was a part of the process also. We do know that whatever God does, He goes above and beyond all that we can ask or think. In other words, I can ask a pretty good amount. And God says, you can't ask like I can think. And so God goes so far better, so much greater than anything I can even imagine. Now, it's still fair game to ask Him why. And I'll tell you what the answer is when I ask Him why, if I ask in humility. He doesn't always give the explanation, because like we said, I can't always understand the explanation. But He will give an answer. The answer is in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. So God's answer to why, if I'm humble, sometimes He'll tell me, but sometimes He'll just say, will you trust me? Sometimes difficult things happen in people's life. And the outcome isn't necessarily for here on earth in time. Sometimes the outcome is for when we get to heaven. You're going to spend a lot more time in heaven than you are on earth. If you're lucky, you might make it 80, 90, 100 years on earth. But in heaven, that's forever. There's no end to that. And so, God is also preparing us for heaven. Sometimes people suffer. And they'll say, why? And God says, I'm preparing you. Now, I can't always understand what that means about heaven. I haven't seen heaven. But He gives me certain promises. For example, rewards come from suffering. If you suffer on earth, you get some serious rewards in heaven. The best rewards in heaven are from suffering on earth. You want to reign with Him. You want to be a king or a queen with Him. That only comes from suffering. You don't reign any other way in heaven except through suffering. Well, that's a fantastic reward. Sometimes it's for things that I need that I can't understand because I don't know all there is to know about heaven. So even like when people suffer, and Job, who suffered a lot, asked this, God, why? And God said, will you trust me? Yes, you're suffering. Yes, things are challenging. Yes, you may not understand. But are you able to trust me? That's a very important answer to the question why. And that's the one we really want to go after. Why, God? Can you trust me? Of course I can trust you. That's all the answer we need sometimes. Because he's so much smarter than we are. We can't always get it. But he gets it. Why, God? Trust me. Okay, you guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.